Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
This is Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Howie Lim. Now, a recent study revealed that the COVID-19 pandemic has caused the majority of Singaporeans to reduce how much money they save, with just 17% saying they were able to. However, over a third of people surveyed said the pandemic affected their savings, with 25% saying they're now saving less, 11% saying they'd lost their income altogether and could not save at all. The middle-aged were the most impacted, with 30% of 40 to 55-year-olds saying they had had to reduce their savings, with a further 12% saying they'd lost their income. Meanwhile, younger generations seem to have been the least hit, with only 19% of 25 to 34-year-olds saying they're saving less than they were prior to the pandemic. So what does this mean for financial planning? We speak to Tan Siak Lim, Director of Financial Advisory Group at Financial Alliance. Siak Lim, thanks for your time.
Thank you, Howie.
So let's talk about how different the strategy will look like for different age groups. And also, say, for example, if someone's lost their job, someone's lost some of their income, for example, what does this mean for financial planning?
So in terms of the different age group, I guess the older age group have to be even more careful because they are nearer their retirement age. Okay, so they have to be more serious, more careful, more focused, more committed. And I think you may have read that families who are earning relatively high income of 10,000 actually have not done a proper retirement plan. This is really worrying.
Mm. After the year we've had.
Yeah, correct. So it's quite a shocking, right? I think if you're talking about people in their 20s, living the YOLO life, I guess it's okay lah. But when you're entering your 30s and especially 40s, I think you really have to be careful about putting aside money for your retirement, because not many people are going to work until the drop date, right? So the retirement years can be very long. We are talking about 20 or more years, right?
Yep.
From 65 to 85 or even longer. I don't know whether people realize how much money is needed for that 20, 30 years of retirement. It's a lot of money. And I think some people just didn't realize it, because people are still talking about, hey, do I have the, you know, 6 months emergency cash, right?
Yeah.
Well, you know, when you're talking about retirement, we are talking about 240 months, okay, of retirement money, not 6 months. That's a huge difference.
How much do you think the pandemic has changed or has to change how people do it now? For these different age groups, right, how should they prioritize? Or if you had done it properly, so to speak, you should be kind of okay?
The two main challenges is, number one, is the commitment to set aside a fixed number of, a fixed amount of money. So most people did it wrongly by spending first and then saving whatever that's left behind.
Right.
This is a formula for failure, all right? Because if you spend first and then you save whatever that's left behind, normally there might not be much left behind. And even if you have, it's going to be very irregular every month. Okay, and it's very hard for you to save this way. So the first thing everybody should do, regardless of age group, is to save first and then spend whatever that's left, right? So that's like so simple, but it's so important.
It seems so difficult to do, Siak Lim, from the sounds of it, right?
No, it's not. It's not. Because we are not asking you to save so much that you can't live properly. We're just saying that you look at your income, you look at expenses, and what do you think do you need? And then you should know how much you can comfortably put aside with proper discipline. So a lot of people don't have that. And so when they spend, they overspend every month because it's so easy to spend. Also, the pandemic didn't help because people are now buying online, right? So you can go shopping without leaving your house. So if you don't have that control over how much you spend or how much you save, you are very likely to overspend because it's just so convenient to spend money these days.
But the survey that we quoted says that people are having a harder time saving, and imaginably so. Some have had their income cut, some have lost their jobs.
Correct.
So how
correct.
Should they relook their financial planning now? Scale down policies, that's not a good idea, right?
So first of all, I want to say that saving is a function of income and expense.
Yeah.
Last year, I think everybody spent less money. So it's good. But the problem is, for some people, the income also comes down. And some, the income would drop more than the drop in expenses. So that's where the problem is. to solve this problem, it's not just a financial planning problem. It's actually the durability of your income. You have to do something about making sure that you have, your employability is good, constantly upgrading yourself, or if not, do some side hustle, right? Do some making yourself self-employed in some ways. It's not really the saving, but it's actually the income, right? You must somehow secure your income with all ways, you know, making sure that you are highly, your skill set is highly in demand, training, you know, our government give money for skill future. Very important, because if you don't have a good income, you have nothing to save.
Yeah.
So the income is the source of everything. Talking about, you're saying cutting off your insurance policy and that, right? It depends on what you have. Actually, unfortunately, most of the policy you probably have to keep. Like, for example, your whole life policy that cover critical illness. You want to let it run to your old age, right? Hospital plan, you should keep. Protection plan, all the protection plan, actually, you are not advised to cut. Some products will self-terminate, like endowment policy. They tend to self-mature in your old age. So that one will basically solve by itself. If you do have a whole life policy that doesn't cover critical illness, which is not common, that is something that you can potentially surrender to raise money. Because when you get older, you know, when your children are fully grown, your house is fully paid, your need for life insurance will drop. Of course, some people will say, hey, you know, I want to pass some down for the children, which is reasonable. It's always a priority of whether creating an inheritance is more important than your ability to live comfortably in your retirement years. So which one has a higher priority? So we have to look at individual situation to decide what is the right action.
Siak Lim, have you seen more people come to you for advice during this time? What have been their biggest concerns?
Unfortunately, no. In terms of the business, I don't think people are now actively seeking out good financial advice. Not to that extent. But I do observe that when I talk to people, people actually are becoming more sensible, right? They actually now seems to appreciate and understand the importance of a good financial plan better than the past. It actually has. Because of the crisis, people know, I guess they know the importance of money and money management. A lot of problem is actually due to bad allocation of your resources, right? Bad allocation of your income, bad allocation of your asset. Right? And that creates all the problem. Actually, a good financial plan is not too difficult. A lot of things are pretty common sense, but people just don't do it. Or maybe they don't know how to do it. They need some guide as to what is the right thing to do. But it's not rocket science. People are just not doing it.
We're speaking to Tan Siak Lim, who's Director of Financial Advisory Group at Financial Alliance. What advice do you have, though, for people as they navigate these challenging and sometimes very emotional times, right, Siak Lim?
Yeah, it is. As I said just now, it is still your employability, right? It's not so much of savings. In order to save, you need to have income to begin with to save. And that, obviously, I can't really help, right? This is your own self-career management or setting up a business. People do actually start to have some side hustle, right? Because of the pandemic, right? I think we read that people are now learning how to baking, right? Selling their cakes and that. I think so it helped. I think there are more and more people starting a side hustle. Of course, there are many courses that's being sold online now, e-commerce, you know, go and sell stuff. But I just want to say that it's not so easy. But even that, it's still active form of income, right? You're still doing work. So it's not passive. But usually it is like that. You need to work actively for many years to accumulate enough capital in order for your passive income to make sense, right? Because in order to get a reasonable return, it's not just about the rate of return, right? It's actually the size of your capital. If your capital is 10,000, you're not going to be able to generate passive income with that money. If you need, let's say, 40,000 per year and you can do 4% return, you need $1 million to generate 40,000. If you only have 100,000, then you need 40%, which is not possible. Last year, it was possible. Last year is a funny year where the economy is so bad, but the market return is fantastic. Nobody can imagine that to happen. So last year, the return was fantastic, but then you can't expect the kind of return every year. We've seen 30, 40, 50, 100%, more than 100% return last year for certain sectors. If you get that, you know, it's good, but you don't get that every year. So on the average long-term rate of return, we're still expecting like, you know, 8 to 9% for the stock market. And in order to get a useful income, you actually need a pretty big investment capital.
Yeah.
And that actually usually still come from your active work.
Very quickly, though, another survey revealed that almost 50% of women have never had a financial advisor. What do you make of this statistic? I mean, they also said that 40% of men say they never had a financial advisor. So it might not be a gender thing, right?
I'm surprised by the statistics. The fact is, when I talk to people, most people tell me, oh, you know, I already have a financial advisor. So I'm not sure where these statistics come from. Or unless when they meant financial advisor, they may not mean a complete financial advisor. They may tend to refer to an insurance kind of person, right?
Mm.
Which is a semi-financial advisor, if you ask me. So maybe that is the thing. It is probably true that most people have some kind of insurance agent working with them, but they may not have a holistic, independent, complete financial advisor, which is still a rare thing in Singapore, right? Most of the time, you don't find that kind of advisor. So if you are strictly going by that definition, yes, I think most people have an insurance agent, but they don't have a comprehensive financial advisor that will do will writing, that will do investment portfolio management. And actually, that is a problem. Most financial advisors that people tend to come across are still very much a salesperson, which created a lot of bad impression. People are avoiding financial advisor because this financial advisor don't behave like financial advisor.
So, which is so, probably why they told you, I already have.
Correct. So actually, that is the problem we have today. Advisors that are not consultant but are really very aggressive salespeople. And most people, that's the experience they come across. Based on that, then it's true that most people don't have a good financial advisor. And that is a problem that we are trying to solve. But I think it'll be a long time if we could ever fix that problem.
Tan Siak Lim, Director, Financial Advisory Group at Financial Alliance. Siak Lim, thank you for your insights.
All right. Thank you very much, Howie.
This is Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.